Welcome to the Razor's Ink podcast with your host, Jonathan Farini. There are periods of this country's young history that are glossed over in entertainment, or in a worst-case scenario, ignored altogether. After all, a harsh dose of reality is not what we want, especially when we're looking for some escapism, and yet stories from these periods need to be told, and ultimately, need to be heard. So pour yourself a drink, pull up a chair, and hear Jonathan's take on movies, television, and today, a work of American fiction that played out all too real, all too often. Here's your host, Jonathan Farini.
Throughout the nearly 50 podcasts produced this year, I spoke a great deal about returning to films over and over again. With each return, I learned something new about the films. Films, like wine, mature over time. In this episode, I wish to discuss a film I only recently discovered. The movie is Sounder, starring Cicely Tyson. The film was nominated for a Best Picture Oscar. The stars, Cicely Tyson and Paul Winfield, both were nominated for Best Actress and Best Actor Oscars. I was 14 when the movie was released in 1972. I was distracted, just beginning high school, and was spending time watching the blaxploitation films of the early 70s and later television series like Roots and episodic series including Sanford and Son and the Jeffersons. Sounder just slipped through the cracks over the many decades, but I return to it every time it shows. I watch it because I lived a life of abundance, disappointment, and through age earned an appreciation for the human condition. The novel was written by William Howard Armstrong. The inspiration for Sounder came from a story told around his family dinner table about a dog returning home after a 20-year absence. The screenplay adaptation was by Lonnie Elder, who in 1973 wrote Lady Sings the Blues. Elder was nominated for Best Adapted Screenplay Oscar for Sounder. Sounder is about resilience. In this movie, the characters are African-American, but the themes of resilience, spitting in the eye of racism, poverty, war, famine, disease, and zip code, are universal to all of us, making Sounder a timeless motion picture. Sounder is a hunting dog and a central protagonist. Like his name implies, a sound to follow as a young man, David Lee, heads out into the Louisiana wilderness in search of his father, who is serving a one-year sentence inside a work camp.
You've been in your house, Nathan. Hold that dog. Found what we were looking for, too. Now, you took some food and stuff from James' smokehouse last night. My deputy and me, we got to take you down to the county house.
What they doing, Mom?
Don't quit.
Nathan Lee Morgan, you have been found guilty of unlawful trespass and robbery. Is there anything you wish to say to the court prior to the court pronouncing sentence upon you?
No, sir.
The sentence of the court is that you be immediately remanded to the custody of the sheriff of this parish and that you be transferred forthwith to serve a term of 1 year at hard labor at a parish prison camp to be hereafter designated. Clerk will call next case.
For stealing groceries to feed his family. During the sojourn, David Lee follows the sound to self-discovery, leading him inside a schoolhouse taught by a prolific teacher named Miss Johnson, aptly played by Janet McLaughlin. She introduces David Lee to a bookcase filled with volumes about black historical figures, igniting David Lee's passion for learning with an invitation to return to school full-time.
Miss Johnson, don't you teach in your school about folk who ain't dead?
Sure. Here's one about a man who's very much alive. Dr. William E.B. Du Bois.
What'd he talk about?
Here, I'll read something he said. The longing of black men must have respect. which means that a man and a woman are human and must be treated that way. The rich and bitter depth of their experience, the unknown treasures of their inner life, the strange rendings of nature they have seen may give the world new points of view and make their loving, living, and doing precious to all human hearts. And to themselves, in these days that try their souls, the chance to soar in the dim blue air above smoke is to their finer spirits boon and guerdon for what they lose on earth by being black.
More about the bookcase as metaphor shortly. Cicely Tyson plays a mother named Rebecca, which in Hebrew means to bind or tie. Aptly describing this young mother's resiliency to hold her family together. To me, Rebecca represents womanhood and motherhood, always rising to the challenge when the chips are down. Shout out to all of the single moms everywhere. The Hebrew meaning of Nathan's name signifies gift from God. The beautiful Cicely Tyson's Rebecca is tired, worn out, sweaty, and her wardrobe is a raggedy cotton dress and head wrap, which her heart turns into a couture wardrobe. Sisterhood is portrayed when Mrs. Boatwright, played by Carmen Matthews, a white woman for whom Rebecca does laundry, procures the location of Nathan's work camp from the sheriff's office filing cabinet and puts herself at great peril.
Charlie, you have no legal right not to tell that boy where his father is. Do you hear that? You and this whole damn courthouse, what you're doing is wrong.
You tell me about wrong. Now, you come in here as a friend, and I find you going through the files? You know I could have you arrested for that. And if you give that information out, that's exactly what I'm going to do to you. And I'll tell this whole town how you got that information and who you're giving it to. And you won't have a friend left in this parish to bring you a piece of candy.
You would do that, wouldn't you?
Now you're getting the point, Mrs. Boatwright.
Sounder isn't marred by violence, foul language, or the need for special effects. It succeeds in showing us the Morgans' raw, unfiltered, and genuine love for each other, which makes their plight all the more meaningful, and we can't help but empathize.
With Nathan in jail and all, how you gonna crop for me when the spring season comes? Huh? Damn it, I'm talking to you, woman. I got a farm to worry about, and I need some answers.
Cropping season is a long way off, Mr. Perkin. By that time, Nathan ought to be home. If he ain't, believe me, the children and me will do the cropping. We have to, because we owe you all that money. Mr. Perkin?
The director is Martin Ritt, and the cinematographer is John Alonzo. Ritt and Alonzo have fabulous filmographies. Check them out. Ritt and Alonzo offer us mostly long and medium shots while simply pointing the camera lens to the countryside and letting it speak like a character. It's a beautiful pairing of artists similar to the beauty of Rebecca and Nathan's partnership.
Is your game?
It's his game, all right.
Taj Mahal's steel guitar score resonates perfectly throughout each scene, as if a natural part of the scenery. He aptly plays a minor role as a neighbor named Ike Phillips. David Lee returns from the schoolhouse without finding his father. Rebecca and the children bring in the crop, paying off the debt to the landowner, with something left over for themselves. Sounder alerts the family to a lonely figure hobbling down the long dirt road in the distance, and Rebecca runs to Nathan, who has returned from the prison camp with a gimp leg from a dynamite explosion.
What's wrong with you, Sounder?
Oh.
I understand Sicily completed the scene in one take, despite the length of the run and the heat. It's a heartfelt and beautiful scene. David Lee instinctively realized his father is crippled and may not be able to handle his share of the sharecropping work and wants to stay. Nathan, I believe, realized the truth about the injury, but insists his son attends the school, and the ending includes him taking his son and his belongings by wagon to Miss Johnson's home, where he will live and attend school.
I'll be back tomorrow evening.
Careful now.
Yeah.
This old raggedy place. But I sure ain't gonna worry about
it. Boy, did you see me pick him off at third base? I tell you, my speedball make them all stand up and look.
It's a beautiful father and son moment, and we all conclude David Lee's future will be bright. The film was a critical and box office success and included within the National Film Registry by the Library of Congress. Back to the bookcase inside the schoolhouse where David Lee meets Miss Johnson. Sounder and the Grapes of Wrath would make beautiful bookends inside this bookcase, as they do within the history of cinema. There isn't anything I can add to this beautiful story, except I wish I had seen it earlier. Resilience is a human trait, common, and because it's common, it may lead us as a species to common ground, mutual respect, and like the Morgan family, pull us together like a family. Sounder gives me hope for the future, despite the calamities of the world. Perhaps that's why I return to it again and again. I want to sign off from season one by recognizing my producer, Sean, a savant of sound and the genius who takes my raw recordings, adds his sound effects, surgical edits, all of which work hand in glove with my narrative. And together, we hope to have informed and entertained you this year. On behalf of both Sean and myself, we wish you holiday cheer and a happy new year. Until we see you next year, please leave behind a soft footprint, and class is dismissed.
You've been listening to the Razor's Ink podcast with Jonathan Farini. Be sure to check out Jonathan's collection of fiction at the Jonathan B. Farini Story Collection at jonathanfarini.com. There you'll find everything from drama to romance, something for every reader, including Jonathan's sequel to Memoirs of an Overseas Contractor, Sales Made of Cash. That's jonathanfarini.com, Farini with two R's, one N. Or drop an email to razorsinkpodcast@gmail.com. And yes, to all of our listeners, thank you for giving us the gift of your time and ears. Best wishes for a happy new year.